All right, I think we'll call the meeting to order. It's 4 o'clock. Roll call vote.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Brecky, absent. Neubauer.
Here.
Okay. Looking at it in front of you, board, you have the agenda for the meeting this afternoon. Do I hear any additions or subtractions or corrections to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Also in front of you, you have the meeting, the minutes from our previous meeting on 9/18, excuse me. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to that? If not, again, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same side. Motion carries. All right, just a few comments on how this is going to work. I think a couple of you have probably been in here before. What we'll do is we'll open it up to the staff to give their presentation. Then we'll open it up to the people that are wish to give some comments on it. First, the applicant, then any public comments. Then after that, we'll close and we'll deliberate and we'll make a decision and give it to you as you leave here. One other comment also, though, if there are any comments not pertaining to the business in front of us tonight, I'll entertain any of those comments at this time. Hearing none, we'll move on to our first hearing item, and I believe it's a CUP 0716 application for a second extension on the Barro extraction pit. Jerry?
Property location is in Section 18 Grand Township in unincorporated Story County. Application was submitted, written application, reasons for the request, the extension, the drawing that they submitted last time of the site layout, and then they provided responses to county staff questions. Primarily, the reason for the request is the delays that they have with rain and the work that they're still doing on those pillars for the flyover bridge. The first extension was through September 30 of this year, but because of those delays, they're asking for an extension through December 30 of this year to extract sand and gravel for setting their cranes. They have two, 300-ton cranes that they're going to need material for to level them out, to connect the horizontal beams. If you've driven by the flyover bridge, you'll see they install some of those. And then all that material will be brought back to the Barro pit to work on looking on the front yard setback. There's a 50-foot front yard setback requirement, which they have not. They took out more material than they were supposed to, so they need to do some backfilling. And then, of course, there's slope requirements of 5-to-1 along the perimeter, out of and into the body of water for a length of 10 feet, and then they have to do the restoration work. So, again, they're asking for an extension through December 30 of this year. Just to show you where we're at, we're on the east side of I-35. It's a 36-acre parcel. We're on the south side of 245th Street. Initial project was that they worked on was the relocation of the off-ramp from I-35 to Highway 30 eastbound. There was also a creek to the east of there that was relocated, a dwelling on the north side of 245th Street, which was, I think ultimately that's going to be removed, but I think it's still there today. Board of Adjustment at the January 18th meeting of 2017 approved the initial request with conditions. The first one was that they obtained a floodplain permit, which they did, and that The first extension request was June 20th. Again, it was this summer, and they were requesting the extension through September 30. At that meeting, the Board of Adjustment extended the amount for their restoration bond from $10,000 to $20,000 to deal with the non-compliance on the front yard setback and then to finish up the project and the restoration. A little bit of background information. Again, we're in an A1 district. Current land use, for the most part, is a borrow pit in transition. Again, they're needing some material to finish the work on the bridges, so that will take place. When they're done with that material, they're planning on bringing it back to the pit to finish up the work. The area is in the Ames River Fringe plan. It's an ag farm service area. This just shows you the initial project. Really, I think for Matthew's benefit, we were here during that time period, but they did a relocation on the off-ramp to Highway 30 eastbound, relocated the creek further to the east. And then this represents the flyover bridge that they're working on right now. Site, again, probably about half of it is within the floodplain. And we have a floodplain permit for the project. The green represents, from this perspective aerial, the location. Initially, it was going to be two separate borrow pits, but as they went along, there was some request by the DOT that they actually shift the borrow pit 40 feet to the east, and in working with the property owner, they decided to go with just a single borrow pit instead of two separate ones, and it's about an 8-acre total area. Again, the setback requirements are 50 feet from all property units. This is a kind of a sketch that they provided, showing the 5-to-1 slope. When it's finished, they're going to have a berm on the top that will be 4 feet in height to keep out floodwaters. The two initial pits were about a 400 by 435. They made one large one. Again, it's about an 8-acre area. The first submittal, they told us they removed about 130 yards of material, and then I think most recently, they added another 3,000. Again, the total is 10 total thousand yards of material that they need. When they finish out the borrow pit, they're talking about working from 6 to 6, but with the days being shorter and shorter, I think it gets dark about 5:30 or so, so their times for working will be less. They're not planning to have any lights installed or anything like that, but they thought even working 2 to 4 employees would be working on it. Again, the bond, restoration bond, is increased to $10,000. Equipment that they indicated that would be used there would be the dozers, excavator, and then, of course, the haul trucks moving material from the borrow to the interchange. And then, again, upon completion, it's going to be privately owned. We'll be stocked with fish and provide habitat for the wildlife. So this is what the adjacent property owners will see. Site photos, we took these on the 8th of October. This is actually looking to the southwest toward the borrow pit. And if you look at it close, you can see the north and the west sides look like it's finished condition, but again, they're going to need to add some material. So the work that they did looks like the slopes have been met. But they're primarily cutting from the south end. That just shows you the north end, southwest corner, looking straight south, southeast corner, and this is the right-of-way area, 245th Street, looking east. As you know, there's a lot of rain.
I was going to say, what was that we said about rain?
Looking to the north, a lot of their staging for their equipment and vehicles and trucks are on the property. We had a comment, I think, under the second submittal about moving material to the east because of the floodplain. I think most of that has been accomplished. That's looking at that same area, moving much further to the east on the road. Conditional use permits require the review of the standards for approval. The first thing is the compatibility with regard to the use and the site and surrounding properties. This property was selected because of its prime location to the project. And for the most part, the equipment, when they first started, went from that location to the actual project site. As I mentioned, the actual extraction work is probably half done. But again, I need additional material to work on the bridge. Transition, the development shall provide for a suitable transition and necessary buffer between the proposed buildings for use and surrounding properties. The use of the property, as I mentioned, will be a private pond stocked with fish. Upon completion of the borrow pit, it will meet the setback requirements. As I mentioned, there's going to be reshaping that they'll need to do. We have a 5-to-1 slope, which is a pretty gradual slope. Even though it will be privately used, not used by the general public, the 5-to-1 slope is more conducive to fishing or whatever their planned use might be. Traffic. Much of the traffic from this location is mostly occurred. There will be, as I mentioned, the additional material that they're going to move with dump trucks to the pillars that they're going to be setting those horizontal members on. The neighborhood primarily to the east are where the dwellings are, so there are some local traffic maneuvering east of the borrow pit. There are no sidewalks, so there really isn't pedestrian traffic. The general public has no reason to go to this light. Parking and loading, they did use the northwest corner of this site initially for staging of equipment and trucks. And I think this is also where they put the trees that they removed for the relocation of the off-ramp. All that gravel base has been removed. And again, they're in that mode of transitioning to the ball pit. They started to do the finishing. Signs and lighting, there are no signs. And again, there are no plans for lighting. Initially, they told us they would be working from 6 to 6. I think that would be shortened with the shorter days that we're having. They do have a floodplain permit. They indicated that they would continue with dust control on the area roads. Board of Adjustment, if you conclude that all the above items will be met, you also have to consider these items, which are, the first one deals with safeguarding the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. I won't go through these, but if you have questions, I can. Two is impair adequate supply of light and air to surrounding properties. Three, unduly increase congestion in roads or the hazards from fire or other similar dangers. Four, talks about diminishing or impairing established property values on adjoining or surrounding property. And five, references the comprehensive plan and development conditions. So we did route this to departments. It's been routed multiple times. Primarily, the comments came from our department about trying to get a handle on how much material would be removed, which they provided that information, and when the seeding would take place. We did send notices October 9 to property owners within a quarter of a mile of the property and did not receive any comments. We also sent the notice to the cities of Ames, Gilbert, and Nevada, and they did not respond. Points to consider in the review of this extension request are that it has everything to do with the amount of delays that they had, including the rain, the work that's still going on with the pillars for the bridge. And as I mentioned, the additional dirt is needed for their cranes to level out them when they install those iron beams for the bridge. Again, they're going to bring back that material, reshape the borrow pit to meet the setback requirement, and work on the slopes and the finishing work and Again, they're asking for the extension through December 31st of this year. So we've got four alternatives. Planning staff is recommending the board adjustment approve alternative two, which is approval with conditions. And for the most part, we're just asking the applicant to contact us for the end of the year to do a site inspection, check the setbacks, check the seating. And then because it's so late in the year on the seating, we'd like to do it again at the end of May or before the end of May to really just check everything, just to check on the settlings, make sure that we've got some vegetation to establish. So again, that would be option number two. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Any questions for Jerry? Just one comment before we ask for any questions from the audience. If you did come in, we'd appreciate it if you did sign in at the table over there. And if you do have comments when you approach the podium over here, please state your name and address so that we have it for the record. Anyone speaking for the applicant? Hearing none, any comments from the public? Hearing none, we'll close. Yes.
I just want to make sure that, and I can't, I'm racking my brain trying to think of in what capacity, but this isn't costing the taxpayers any extra money of any sort anywhere?
It shouldn't be costing. The Board of Adjustment increased the bond. We have a bond that's active.
I remember asking
in case
that.
They do not complete the restoration work as required, but there shouldn't be any direct cost.
Okay. All right.
Having said that, close deliberations. Board, what would you like to do?
Time to
entertain
vote.
A motion.
Yeah. Motion to vote, to accept alternative number two.
I have a motion out of Youngberg. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
Second on Neubauer. Roll call vote, please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Okay. It has been a little wet. There's no doubt about that. All right. Moving on to item number 6-2, staff report 617 on CUPO 617-1.
All right. We actually combined these two. This is with Manats.
Oh, okay.
Combined the two, so we'll have one presentation addressing both requests.
All right.
Representatives from the company are here if you have questions. But this is conditional use permit 06-17.1 and conditional use permit 04-18.1. Property is located at section 13 of Washington Township. Manats does own the property. Their home office is out of Brooklyn, Iowa. Sam Ramsey is the applicant, and again, we're looking at two parcels. Both of these conditional use permits are for the same location. The one on the north end, which is represents about a quarter of the property, or this area rather, is zoned commercial light industrial, and three quarters of it is zoned agricultural district. So the first one is 06-17.1. It's a request to extend the timeline permitted for a temporary construction and demolition landfill site and crusher indefinitely. The request also includes the addition of paving material and equipment storage to the site. The second one is CUP 04-18.1. The request is for a minor modification to a previously approved CUP 04-18.1. 18 to extend the time period permitted for a temporary asphalt and concrete plant indefinitely. Request also includes an addition of a concrete wall that's proposed for the north and east sides of the property. So this is the location. We're on south of Highway 30 and southwest of South Dayton. And so it's actually two parcels. The north parcel is zoned commercial light industrial, and the south parcel is zoned A1. A little bit of background. On June 21st of 2017, the board approved conditional use permit 0617 for the temporary construction demolition landfill, which really is to allow the storage of raw materials or processed materials that are used for road construction projects. Also includes the crusher. It was approved with these conditions. The first condition was that it was to expire November 30 of this year. There was language in there written that they could request an extension if they saw fit to do so. There was an allowance to allow the gravel pad that's been put down to stay there for a year to give time for transition for the applicants to find additional work. There was a requirement to submit a flood evacuation plan to the emergency management and floodplain manager, which did occur. Trucks turning signage was required. They were to work with the DOT and the City of Ames on that. On April 18, 2018, CUP 0418, it was permitted as a temporary use for the asphalt and concrete plant. Again, this is primarily the parcel to the south, which is A1 Agricultural District. There were nine conditions. The first one was to get a variance on the height of the temporary concrete plant, which they did. It was to expire December 31st of this year. There was language in there to allow for an extension, to request an extension. Again, language about the gravel pad being allowed to stay for a year, to allow for that transition period to for them to acquire more work or to bid on more projects. There was language in there about getting approved haul routes and communicating with our department, County Engineering Department. Flood evacuation plan, which was submitted, permits from the Iowa DNR, Iowa DOT, and other applicable entities were required if they use water from the pond or the Skunk River to produce the materials. The office trailer that is located in the southeast area or eastern area, there's a 50-foot setback, and I don't know that that's actually meeting that setback today. The applicant shall water the site and the roadway to prevent the dust from being moving around. This site is pretty compact. And then the last one was the Planning and Development Department shall complete an inspection before they actually operate, and that occurred. So background, Manass used the concrete plant to pave 530th Avenue this summer, which is south of Highway 30. They're continuing to work on I-35 northbound, which is about 2 miles south of the main interchange. They're hoping to start the paving within the next couple of weeks and would like to wrap up that project mid-November. Since the approval of CUP 06-17 and CUP 04-18, Manass has acquired those two parcels that we're talking about and the parcel to the south, so it's approximately about 150 acres. These are concept site drawings. Shows you the general location. The area to the northwest represents milled asphalt pile. This irregular shaped is the paving equipment material storage area. This actually is a red dotted line, represents the proposed wall. And we do have requirements for fences and walls, so this is something that would need a fence permit. There are limitations, however, though, on the height, and we communicated that in the staff report. The crusher is shown just to the south of the material storage area. They intend to bring in that just limited periods of time, I think for a week or two, to process material. It's not something that they would use on a frequent basis. And then you see piles of concrete material in various stages. There's a dirt pile to the south of that and then retention pond. This drawing actually shows where the locations for the temporary plants are to be. The one that is installed is the concrete plant, and that's in this general location. And then when and if used, the asphalt plant would be set up to the south of that. Proposed use, Manassas is requesting to use the subject property for the existing uses indefinitely. Again, the conditional use permits were for temporary periods. We had communication with their staff about projects. There currently are no projects, but they indicated that they do anticipate seeking work in Story County, Ames, Boone County, work for the DOT as well. The presence of equipment and materials on site will correspond to the time frames of future projects. Some of these items may come and go depending on the needs. So this just is an overall map showing Washington Township. Again, Highway 30 intersects the north central area. Our project site is to the eastern area. This is the zoning. Again, the north parcel is commercial light industrial. The south is A1 agricultural district. The western portion of the property is heavily wooded, which provides a buffer for eastbound traffic. This is from the Ames Urban Fringe. Green represents natural areas, which also corresponds to flooding. I think most of this area that you're looking at is within the floodplain. A floodplain development permit has been approved for the site. The site was actually elevated 18 inches, which is the county's requirement. We do have the evacuation plan, which covers all the items on this site. And this is something that is monitored with all the rains. I know our floodplain manager has a list of applicants that she's in contact with, you know, when we have events that we've had to put applicants on alert to, you know, to respond to their evacuation plan. These are the site photos. This is actually looking to the southwest at the site from South Dayton. Looking west at the site from South Dayton, you can see the wall, which they started constructing but stopped. Again, we've asked for a permit for that. This is looking southeast from the subject property along Southeast 18th Street. Looking southeast at the stockpiles and equipment parking. Looking southwest at stockpiles on the south side of the site. And you see the material in the various stages. I think this is... It looks like processed material and then unprocessed. Looking northeast from the property, the construction trailer is right here to the right of the screen. Looking northwest at the concrete plant, and there's a closer view. Again, all this is mobile. It can be removed. And, you know, this is something that we saw on the north side of this site. It's materials that they used for road construction, which is being stored. This is part of that wall. This is on the north side. This is actually looking to the west. We did see some material substance south of the plant area. Asked the applicants about it, and they did have a spill that they communicated to us and indicated that it was also communicated to the DNR. Standards of approval, again, we look at compatibility. Both applications were submitted as temporary uses. Expiration conditions ensured that the uses would not be permanent. Both conditional use permits included a condition that the gravel pad be allowed for a year. And again, that was the opportunity for them to seek out additional work, and then they could request extensions. As required by the conditional use permit for the concrete and asphalt plants, the adjacent parcel to the east is operated and owned by OMG. With a temporary asphalt and batch plant, you have to be adjacent to an extraction use. And so that's the property directly east of where this location is. They actually get materials, sand aggregates from the south pit, which is about... half a mile to the east of this site. Transition stockpiles are visible from the Highway 30 and Dayton Avenue. But as I mentioned, there's a pretty dense wooded area to the west, which provides some buffering. Highway 30 as well. There's a berm of earth, dirt on the south end. This area is included within the Ames gateway area. There's design standards that would be applicable, you know, for more permanent type uses. And as I mentioned, they are constructing a concrete wall. There's height limitations. A variance may be requested if the proposed wall is greater than 8 feet in the commercial light industrial district and greater than 4.5 feet in an A1 district. With regard to traffic, they provided the load per day, and so 300 for stockpile material, 370 for the asphalt plant, a little more for the concrete plant, around 600 trips. But again, this is a temporary use and vital to Story County, vital to this area as we grow. Pedestrian traffic is pretty limited in this area. There are no sidewalks. The uses are somewhat intensive with extraction, material storage, and then most of the land use outside of that is agricultural use. Parking and loading, all parking and loading take place on the private property. Employee parking is toward the east side of the site. The general public does not go there. They don't take requests for the most part. It's not like a retail type use. Signs and lighting, there is no exterior lighting. Trucks turning signage will be required as a condition of this, as it was previous conditional use permits. Environmental protection, NPDES, stormwater permit was obtained from the DNR. Floodplain permit from Story County. They do have an evacuation plan. It was approved by the emergency management director and the floodplain manager. The existing floodplain permit is currently being reviewed. Standards of approval, again, I won't go through those, but we look at health, safety, general welfare to persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. We look at whether or not there will be impact to light and air to surrounding property, unduly increase in congestion in roads, hazards from fire, flood, or similar dangers, whether or not property values would be diminished because of the use, and then whether or not it's in accordance to the ordinance and the comp plan. So some points to consider with 0617 was that it was to be a temporary use for construction and demolition landfill, which again is the material storage and processing, which also included the crusher. 0418 CUP was supported based on the temporary use for a temporary asphalt and concrete batch plant. It is necessary to accommodate such uses to support long-term growth and development. The use is consistent with conditional, with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, Policy 4, which talks about to permit interim development to occur in a manner that will support long-term urbanization of the Ames Urban Fringe. The use, however, is not supported long-term in the plan. But this area, as well as the area within 2 miles of the city of Ames, will likely be reviewed. The city is currently going through their comprehensive planning update, so this location will be included in that. Additional points to consider: the property is adjacent to extraction sites. Our department does support the recycling and reuse of these materials. Projects are likely to occur in Story County, Boone County, Ames. However, no additional uses have been proposed in addition to this for this location. Storage of materials, equipment, and machinery for paving is a use directly related to the construction and demolition landfill use. And then we talked about the fence and wall requirement. We did route this to interagency review. And just had questions about projects that they might have obtained. Asked about whether or not the equipment would be moved, in the future from the site and then back again. Additional information about the block wall and plans for screening. Again, there are no plans with the exception of the wall that they're started to build and intend to complete along the north and east sides. Asked about the storage of the materials for the road project, and then the substance that we found on the south area of the concrete plant. Floodplain comments. We also communicated by sending the notice to property owners on October 10. We did not receive any responses. We did, however, receive information from Ames, a letter. We did send a notice to Ames and Gilbert. They basically support the use as a temporary use, not as a long-term use. But I said, as I mentioned, they're going to update their comprehensive plan, and then this area will likely be a part of that review. So with CUP 0617, we are recommending, actually these are conditions, recommending approval with conditions. The first one is that the use expire December 31st, 2021, which is 3 years. The material piles, equipment, and crusher will be required to be removed at this time. If an extension is requested, they can do that. Under Story County Land Development Regulations, there's a provision that that addresses conditional use permits under 90.05, and it basically talks about if there's no activity within a year, then the use goes away, and we don't want that to happen. So that's not applicable here. The gravel pad can stay for a year, and to give them time after that 3 years to acquire work. Language about the truck turning signage being installed, and for them to work with the DOT and the City of Ames on its placement. And so that brings us to alternative 5 for CUP 06-17.1, which is the Story County Board of Adjustment approves the minor modification to the existing conditional use permit for Manat's temporary construction and demolition landfill site with the expiration date of December 31st, 2021, and additional conditions identified above. And then if I could just go through the other one, which is 0418. Again, we're recommending approval with the same extension for 3 years with these conditions, which would be that it would be expired December 31st, 2021. They would have the opportunity to request an extension. The gravel pad stays for a year after that to give them time to locate work, obtain permits from the Iowa DNR, Iowa DOT, or other applicable entities if they need to draw water from the pond or the Skunk River, relocate the office trailer to meet the 50-foot setback, and then the applicant shall continue to monitor the dust by watering the site. Which brings us to alternative 5 for, again, CUP 04-18.1, which says Story County Board of Adjustment approves the minor modifications to the existing CUP for the Manat's temporary asphalt and concrete plant with an expiration date of December 31st, 2021, and additional conditions identified above. And with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Questions for staff?
So there's two separate votes that we're requesting.
I have a quick question, Jerry, and this may be in the regulations, or maybe it was unique to the landowner. In some of these we've had before, for example, the windmills, the wind turbines, the borrow pit we had, the excavator was required to provide a bond to put the, you know, in case they didn't put it back or the wind turbine had to come down. Was there ever a bond talked about here? Is there some... I'm more curious than anything else.
Yeah, I don't believe that it was a specific requirement in the regulations for this particular use or these particular uses.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? Comments from those from Manat, since you both have Manats on your shirt?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We have to answer questions.
Do you have any questions for them?
I might actually add.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just going to ask, what's this wall going to look like?
Well, most of it's, half of it's built right now, so.
Big square block.
Concrete block?
Concrete block, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a nice finish on the one, it's kind of a, I don't know, what do you call that? It's kind of a decorative finish, yeah. Yeah. We have a photo here, sorry. There you can kind of, Stephanie, could you hit the lights?
There's another one in there that's better, isn't there?
I'll check, but it's kind of right in there.
Yeah.
And it's individual pieces, right? I don't know, how much does that weigh?
Wow.
3 foot by 3 foot by
approximately
6 foot each.
Wow. And there you go. See in the left side. And again, the side that's facing out has that decorative kind of contour to it.
Okay.
And I think the goal is to provide some buffering of the equipment and some of the things there, but I mean, obviously, you're not going to buffer everything.
Is the crusher loud when it's running?
Really, if you're standing next to it, sure. You want ear protection. But I don't think it's something you notice on the other side of a freeway or on the other side of 30.
And do you guys, like you indicated, like just two times a week, or 2 weeks out of the year?
If we come in, it'll be project specific. And yeah, when we come in, it's, we came in specifically for this project this year, and we were here for 2.5 weeks with that crusher.
So it's a short window. They get it done and then get out of there.
Done.
Okay. Other questions? If not, we'll close and deliberate. What do you want to do? Do we want one motion, Jerry, on both of these?
Two separate, I would suggest.
Okay, two separate motions.
All right, first one is... So it's CUP 06-17.1, and it's alternative number 5, which is the extension for 3 years with those conditions that we mentioned.
Ready for a motion?
Yes.
So moved.
I have a motion out of Youngberg. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second out of Neubauer. Motion and second on 6-17.1. Roll call vote.
Youngberg.
Yes.
Scarlett.
Yes.
McGill.
Yes.
Neubauer.
Yes.
Okay, now we need a motion on 418.1.
And again, it's alternative 5, extension for 3 years for the asphalt and concrete plants.
Motion
adopt
with the conditions.
Five.
Motion on a Neubauer.
Second.
Second out of Scarlett. Roll call vote.
Neubauer.
Yes.
McGill.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Motions carry. There you go. Any other, what else needs to come before the board, Jerry?
Well, we've got an update for you. Through the American Planning Association, it's National Planning Month, the whole month of October.
Wow.
And we're having an open house on the 26th from 2 to 4 in our office. And we want to use this as an opportunity to talk to the general public. We've also reached out to developers, environmental groups, reaching out to the Board of Adjustment, the Planning and Zoning Commission. Stephanie, who have we reached out to that I haven't said? A lot of different people.
All county employees.
All county employees. We want to communicate some of the ordinances that we passed, worked on within the last year or two, agritourism, special events. We want to talk about ordinances that we're currently working on. We're working on some improvements to the access ordinance, home business permits, and a few others. And then we want to give the opportunity to the general public to have them come in and talk to us about their projects. So we thought, what a great way to to kind of do that. So we're having an open house, and we encourage you, invite you to come.
So when it says discuss a proposed project, is that a Story County project, or is that a person coming
personal,
in?
Personal, private.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of, let's talk about it before you do it.
Well, that's no fun.
So, and then...
The memories of last meeting.
Yes.
So, the November meeting, November 21st, we've got the Pleasant Grove Church. They're proposing to add an accessory building that's going to be used for their membership and affiliated programs. They're also adding parking on-site, and they're buying some land on the other side of the road, which is the south side of the road, for parking.
That is the night before Thanksgiving.
21st?
Yes. Thanksgiving's the 22nd.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So are you saying you won't be here?
Most of us will be in the kitchen.
Write that down.
I'm
we
just
have
throwing
two,
it out there.
We have two dog kennel conditional use permits. One's a breeding operation. The other's a daycare, a day boarding operation. And I wanted to tell you, we did hear last week that the judge ruled on the YSS conditional use permit.
Yes.
And they overturned the Board of Adjustment's decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it was largely based on a 1979 court case that references the need for Boards of Adjustment to make decisions based on written findings of fact. And our ordinance is very specific about what the Board of Adjustment is to follow when making a decision. It's the application and everything that goes with that application, the staff report, the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, input from the public hearing at the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then input from the hearing at the Board of Adjustment, which all those things were taken into consideration. But without saying too much more, the judge ruled that, and I don't have the exact wording, but it wasn't conclusive. And we also provided audio of the Board of Adjustment meetings and the Planning and Zoning Commission, but the ruling was that it wasn't conclusive. She did not know how the Board of Adjustment came to the ruling that it came to. So based on discussions that I had with the attorneys that are working on this, and by the way, they would like to appeal the case, and that's a decision that I think is going to be made by the county attorney's office, but they would really like to appeal the decision. But based on communication that I had with those attorneys, they suggest that we prepare a document that would be provided to the Board of Adjustment at the following meeting that would be reviewed along with the minutes, and it would contain written a document that would have written either a reference to the staff report or the actual findings. And they also suggested including input from the public hearing, from the Board of Adjustments, you know, key input that was provided. And so that is an adjustment that I think we will be making, unless somebody tells me something different. That is something that we'll do. And again, it won't, because I was thinking we could do that at the same day, but they suggest adding the input from the hearing, which makes all the sense in the world. So going forward, you'll see the minutes from the preceding meeting, and then you're going to see a document, written findings of fact, and it'll probably be set up such that we'll ask for a motion at the meeting, and then it'll be signed by the chair. So at least we're covering the 1979 court case. So does anybody have any questions about that? I'll try to answer.
So bottom line is they overturned what we did, and we had approved, I can't remember what
YSS?
YSS.
That's
the only one that they've ruled on. There's two other cases
right.
that they haven't ruled
right.
on.
Right.
Because, so the YSS one, we approved that, but then we were sued by the adjacent landowner. So the owner then sold the property to another party.
The current, you're talking about the McKay property?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's been sold. I think it might be being leased,
the house.
But it
came before us on that one.
We had requests for two additional requests. For bed and breakfast events,
right.
And then for campground, commercial campground.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was those two requests were from the same individual purchasing the property. So my question is, so we found in YSS's favor, but they were sued. So the property was taken off of the market and sold to someone else. Or they entered into an agreement with someone else.
Well, I don't – it was probably contingent upon them getting zoning. I don't know that it was ever actually sold, though.
So who's
yeah,
– I guess where I'm going is who is the owning or who's going to be the owner –
Because this board voted to accept the reception hall thing, right?
Right.
Right.
Assuming YSS did not go through.
Right, because you know part of this is we communicated with the county attorney's office, and we were told that we cannot deny an applicant's request to make a submittal. You know, for the bed and breakfast, for
right.
the events, for the...
So in other words, so that sale was never
accepted.
Culminated.
No, I don't think so.
So if that sale was never...
Anybody can submit a request because we require a written signature from a landowner. So it's all contingent. So all three of those were
So the question is the property owner then going to now sue the board again and based on the fact that we have allowed or approved the application for the bed and breakfast / events center?
And you said property owner. Are you talking about the property owner to the west?
Yeah.
Oh, the
guy.
They did a suit. They did. We do have two additional cases.
No, I know. So they sued. Oh, so well, they sued the YS for us for YSS.
Right.
And they are suing
for the other two also.
Other
so
two.
We got
okay.
two.
I didn't know that had been filed
to be addressed yet.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
And so, I'm going to be communicating with the president director of YSS on Friday. And relay this information, and I think the question is, can they resubmit? And I guess I don't know why they couldn't, but
so if we found in YSS's favor on that request, I mean, what was the judge's reasoning for turning it down?
The Board of Adjustment did not provide written findings of fact.
How can I mean?
I've seen your presentation.
Well, and that's why I said the Board of Adjustment followed our ordinance
right.
requirements.
Sure. So how can
you were to consider the application and all of this, the information that was with it, you're to consider the staff recommendation, the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then the hearings at the P&Z and here, and that's what you did. But I was told from the attorneys representing us that that's only part of it. We didn't address the court case from 1979, which
if we're dependent upon the staff for written proof, then it seems to me that the judge is not looking at the function of the board.
And this is getting to the point why you're saying that your findings and fact will have to be signed off on by the chairman that we received them.
We are going to put together a document that will address the findings of fact. It'll be in writing. And I don't know if it's just going to be a reference to the staff report and the critical items that we are to consider with conditional uses, or if it will contain all that information. But I think it should be something that the Board of Adjustment should act on.
Okay.
And I think it should be signed by the chair. And then that will get recorded. Because we prepare a document after a decision is made that provides the background of the request, you know, the date, what the ruling was, what if there are conditions, we add those conditions, and that gets recorded. But I think we'll move to something that includes
so basically,
the written findings.
By the chairman signing that, that is the written proof that we have seen everything provided
and,
to us.
And the board taking action again.
Yes,
yes, these
okay.
are the written findings
I guess
of facts,
I can
and
follow
we do agree
that.
To them.
I can
yeah.
follow that, I guess.
And that's a document what the nature of the deliberation was or that we...
What was in the deliberation.
We yeah. read the...
Mm-hmm. What were the what were the facts that were presented to us, and did we actually basically see the facts?
Yeah.
Wow. Even though they're orally recorded, in the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's and again, it's because of this court case, and I don't know the circumstances of the jurisdiction, but here we're pretty thorough in the way we approach things and. We followed our ordinance, but that wasn't enough for the judge.
Did that have any bearing? So saying that we were all here and we all saw, you said you had the video.
We provided everything that we received on that, and including, like I said, I think they typed up the audio.
Yeah.
The manuscript, the what do you call that?
Deposition.
Proving that we asked questions
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff.
But the decision was that it wasn't clear because there were no written findings of fact acted on by the Board of Adjustment.
Well, I hope they appeal it.
That's what they would like to do.
Are there other decisions that are currently pending or being legally challenged?
Just that I'm aware of, just with this property.
Yeah,
and
just that one.
Again, those will be coming. This, the YSS one got deferred so many times. I think it was over a year and a half before that to actually, till it finally got addressed.
Last July. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know I missed
March.
March.
Yeah.
Because I was gone and I missed that meeting.
Yeah.
And the judge doesn't see that three times the same neighbor has filed a complaint based on the same property because they don't want it in their backyard?
I don't know if that gets considered or not.
No, it's all about the fence.
I mean, there's the probably separate.
Yeah. The other two, if you look at it, and if you remember our board, we went against what our staff recommended.
Yes.
So that will probably... don't hold a lot of hope for that one either.
Probably not.
So we'll see, and I'll update you when those rulings come out.
Okay. Any other good news?
The sun was out today.
Yes.
Yes. That's
and it's going to be in the 50s for a while. That's
oh.
good.
That's good.
Considering the amount of rain, we probably should look at the overall flood plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
Thanks for your service.
Are we adjourned?
Thank you.
Are we
adjourned? Not yet.
Oh.
Oh, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Ooh,
that was quick.
Second.
We are adjourned.